Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, study to look at the long-term effects of COVID-19 on our frontline healthcare workers. A very important topic. We're going to catch up a yarn over Professor Karen Letter on the line from Monash University. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. We're living a different world at the moment, and COVID-19 has really turned our world upside down in all facets, education, business, finance, all the above, but also in the health care department regarding frontline healthcare workers. Study to look at the long-term effects of COVID-19. We're talking in a mental sense, are we, Professor?
The work that we're planning on doing is to look at both the physical and psychological impacts of COVID on frontline healthcare workers.
Yeah, and people are being affected, and especially frontline healthcare workers, like I said, right in the mix of everything, aren't they? And so they're doing a bit to look after all Australians, but we need to take care of them as well.
Absolutely. So the study that we're going to be doing has been funded by the Victorian Health Department, and it's specifically going to be looking at 1,500 Victorian healthcare workers. And we're aiming to recruit from four different sectors of healthcare workers, firstly from hospital workers, also from ambulance workers, thirdly from primary care or GP, and finally from aged care workers.
And so, like I said, we are walking in a dark tunnel regarding the so-called pandemic. So we're looking after, we're doing the study to find out how our frontline healthcare workers are operating in the physical and mental sense, as you mentioned, but also for future references as well. Yeah?
Absolutely. So part of our study is to look at the impacts on healthcare workers, as I've said, but also to look at what the healthcare institutions that they work in, how they've responded. And hopefully what we'll learn from that is factors that places where healthcare workers are employed, what they can do to minimise the impacts on their employees.
Like I said, because it's a dark tunnel we're heading down, and like we've never ever been globally in this situation. Back when the swine flu was about, what have you, but in the 21st century, it is uncharted waters, so to speak. Yes,
it is unprecedented, and in fact, you know, we're learning so much about the virus as we go. You know, week by week, we're learning more about it, who it affects, how it affects people, what some of the acute and more chronic impacts of the virus are. We're hearing in the news constantly about new treatments and, you know, potentially, you know, the vaccine. But everything is changing very quickly, and our knowledge needs to keep up with that. Mm. And our support for the people at the front line is crucial in order to get the best out of them, so that we can support our patients in the best way possible and try and reduce some of the risk, reduce some of the fears, reduce some of the uncertainties.
Mm. Well, we are talking duty of care and safety across the board with all Australians, and especially frontline healthcare workers, yes?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And I think in Victoria, where this study is going to be based, you know, we're towards the end of the so-called second wave now, but there has been a massive impact and lots of infections in healthcare workers. And one of the things we'll be asking about in the study is whether people have been infected or whether they've had a time that they've had to go into quarantine because they've been a contact of either a patient or other staff members, and we'll also be recruiting people who fit into neither of those categories. So we'll be able to tease out some of the impacts of having had infection or having had a time in quarantine on some of the long-term impacts.
Professor Curran, we're also probably looking at the so-called numbers of people who are working in the industry, and should there be more people, more employment in this space as well? Yes.
Look, I think that that's a slightly separate issue. Whether people feel, we'll put it this way: that one of the issues that's happened in the second wave in Victoria is that in many institutions, and particularly in aged care, but also in some of the hospitals where, which are the two types of facilities where most of the infections have occurred, at times many staff have had to go into either isolation because they're positive or go into quarantine because they're a contact. And what that does to the workforce of the institution that they're working in is that it really depletes it and puts those who are left under even more stress.
And so they'll be calling in other people who probably
Often that does mean calling in other people, but that in itself has risks because during times when there is infection going on in healthcare settings, the advice is often to try and not have people work across different institutions because it's a potential, avoiding that is a potential way to stop spreading, inadvertently spreading the virus from one institution to another. So it does raise difficult logistic and practical problems. And as you said, this is somewhat unprecedented that we've had to face this on such a large scale.
Exactly. Professor Curran, the study, when will that go ahead, or has it already commenced, or where are we at with it?
Sorry, I missed that question.
Sorry, regarding the study, has it already commenced, or have we got a date when it will start?
Well, we have just been informed by the Health Department, by the Victorian Health Department, that we have funding, and we're really grateful to them, as well as to WorkSafe Victoria, which is providing us with some additional funding. And now that we know we have the funding, we're going to get started as soon as we can. And there are steps that need to be put in place. We need to put this through ethics and recruit people to work on it. But we'll be hoping to start recruiting healthcare workers within the next month.
Look, a very important investment in regarding the long-term effect of COVID-19 on our frontline healthcare workers. Professor, thank you so very much. Look, all the best to you and your team. Your family, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on the program.
Bye, Professor Curran. A beautiful yarn there. Professor Curran Leder, her name is, infectious disease from Monash University, professor, and talking about the study to look at the long-term effects of COVID-19 on our frontline healthcare workers. Like I said, a really different world we're living in at the moment, and we're still trying to find a vaccine for the virus, but also the mental and the physical sense effect on our frontline healthcare workers. Very important study that needs to be done, and money welcome to the table for that to happen. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and all is here for your yarn. 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Bob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, have you say, 1-800-422-416. Now, using blackfellas, no longer appropriate. A Cairns councillor proposing the renaming of Local Creek is calling for the replacement of inappropriate and racist place names throughout Australia. And one of the streets or creeks here in Edmonton is Blackfellow Creek, and it's one of them that he wishes to change. And I'm talking about Rob Pine. Got him on the line. Rob, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, Trevor. Really good.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, councillor here in Cairns, you former Cairns City MP for Cairns City Council, and look, your push for changing names. At last count, I got your information here. There were 19 Black Gin Creeks across Australia, 7 Blackfellow Creeks. There are also 21 place names that feature the word nigger, including 8 nigger creeks in Queensland. Time for changes, you know, and words can hurt, yes?
That's right, and I think councils across Queensland and other states should look at this and, you know, bring forward resolutions. I know that the government works slow, but let's bring it up with the government. Let's set the ball in motion, because really, by 2020, these names should have been changed long ago.
Yeah, well, we are in 2020, 21st century, and these names have been around for a long time. And we as First Nation people, like, I'm going to say used to it. It is what it is. We know we wear that that black skin, and we do have the frowns and the remarks and the turnaways and what have you. So stamping out racism is what we're talking about here, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, when Edmonton was first settled, 150 years ago, whatever, the people then, maybe you could forgive them, say they didn't know better, but we do know better today.
Yes.
And people say to me, oh, Rob, you want to change history? No, I want to go back to history, because it's been called Blackfellow Creek for the last 150 years. Mm. For the 50,000 years before that, the traditional owners had their own name for it. And I want to embrace the names and the references from the traditional owners and the original people, because often those names, where the stories can be shared, those names have stories behind them, and we can all grow from sharing that knowledge and that cultural experience. And the whole community is enriched. So exactly. it is about the rights of Indigenous people, but we all benefit when those rights are respected.
Well, exactly. And in regards to the process, have you put it across the table with Council, and what's the feedback you get?
Well, I was very happy when I moved the resolution that other councillors supported me and the resolution was carried. So I was very happy about that.
Anyone against it?
No one voted against it. So I was very happy to see the Mayor and the other councillors supporting it. And now we'll engage with discussions with the state government to get the ball rolling, which is a great outcome. And I did the media release because I'd really like councils in other areas to look at their names. And people, if you live in another area and you want to see some of those creeks or place names changed, contact your local councillor and tell them to put it on their agenda. It's time we got up to date.
Well, exactly. Look, and sometimes a black voice falls on deaf ears. It's like when we're talking white on white and regarding decisions. We appreciate and non-Indigenous brothers and sisters coming to the table in regard to our fight or our existence in this country.
Well, that's right. And if you look at New Zealand, the Maori culture's embraced there, and a lot of place names. You know, they're not the easiest words sometimes, but. But it makes it more interesting, and it's just enriching to everyone. Where the previous owners of the land, where they're celebrated and their cultures are shared, and it makes it better for tourists. What does a tourist coming here from somewhere else think when they see these racist place names? They might think, "Gee, where am I?
Blackfellow Creek."
Yeah, that's
Chinaman Creek. Chinaman Creek.
That's right. If it's something more interesting, I just think we can make the place more diverse and really celebrate the traditional owners. And as I say, we all benefit from that.
Exactly. And when we're talking about changing names, you mentioned traditional owners. Well, they should be at the table in regarding picking a name as well.
Well, that's right. And that's why I actually talked with traditional owners before I took it to council. But I didn't suggest a name because that will now, in my resolution, it says council needs to talk with traditional owners in regards to that name, because things and traditional owners do have different views on a range of things, including some of the there are some place names that acknowledge, for example, atrocities that have been committed in the past.
Yes,
I know some people want those changed. Other people don't want them changed because some TOs think, well, I don't want anyone to try and deny that history of what happened to our people. You know, so
exactly.
That's why it's always so important to talk to traditional owners first.
Sure, and then the word that comes to mind is the word respect, and that is a powerful tool in regarding building bridges, and we as Australia become one.
Well, it is about respect, and it amazes me that some people got angry when I suggested this, and I thought it is about respect, and as a non-Indigenous person, if I was dropping my child off at school and my child said, look at those black fellas over there, I'd say, hey, you don't talk like that. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
If you don't want to talk like that, you don't do it at the community level either. So I think we need to show more respect and as I say,
if you don't do it at the community level, then you don't do it at the title level as well. Level for creeks or for buildings or for football grounds or whatever case may be. I'm thinking of the Nigger Brown football ground down south there, mate.
That's right, and it's a matter of leading by example. And when non-Indigenous people object to this, I think, well, it's not to do with you anyway. Why is it worry you if it's just paying a bit more respect to someone else?
Exactly.
Hopefully we can all move forward. Eh? It'd be great. It'd be great to get rid of some of these names.
Look, love the space you're working in. Like to be in touch. How you travel with this, and of course, First Nation people across the country will be in all support with what you're doing. And your TOs need to be at the table in regard to decision making when looking at new names, for sure, Rob.
Definitely. Thanks for your support, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Rob. You take care. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
There it is. That's Rob Pine, Cairns councillor, and he's calling for a change of the name of First Nation names of creeks and buildings and what have you. As he mentioned, there's 19 Black Gin Creeks. They're across Australia, and there's 7 Blackfellow Creeks. There are also 21 place names that feature the word nigger, including 8 nigger creeks in Queensland. So there it is. He's pushing for a change. He intends to move the following resolution at the Cairns Council and sports events and cultural service meeting. So that's in consultation with council. He'd like all councils around Australia to take on board his movement. And so I think it's a great thing, of course, as a First Nation man. And it's, like I said, it builds that bridges. The word respect comes in, and we're stamping at racism. That's exactly what it is. Have your say. Yana Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and we're based here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Watch out, boys, we come to make noise. Look up for-
Yeah, to Delhi, Wadja Wadja boys, Woorabinda here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your Sabre call-ins on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. And I'm your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. Now, independent aged care and disability support workers have experienced increased stress levels while working during the COVID-19 pandemic due to financial strain and concern around contracting or passing the virus on to clients. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Marissa Sandler, CEO and co-founder of Care Seekers. On the line, Marissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Marissa?
So we're based in Sydney, but we have workers all over Australia. But our office is based in Sydney, but we have them Tasmania, Western Australia, Cairns, everywhere.
Big footprint, look, which is very important. Care workers and the work that they're doing, looking after aged care and disability, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the findings in regard to COVID-19 has turned the world upside down in all areas of life. So what are your key findings regarding the survey?
Sure. So we undertook a survey of the workers on our platform. So all the workers who work through Care Seekers are independent care workers, and they have just been absolute superstars during COVID.
Cool.
I mean, they have been going out into the community, continuing to provide essential services at a time when they have their own fears about contracting COVID, about passing it on themselves. They have been unsure if they've been able to travel to places. Getting PPE was really challenging at a point in time, like it was really hard to get masks and gloves, and they've just gone. And I think one of the main things that their work has meant is that it's been able to keep hospitals beds free, because, you know, they're doing a lot of essential work, like personal care, people who need assistance with all different types of daily activities.
Marissa, just like our doctors and our nurses, they are frontline, aren't they?
Absolute frontline workers. And I think a lot of the time in the media, we've heard about how they've been people who've been, you know, passing on COVID because they might be working in one aged care facility and then another. And I think we just wanted to reach out to the workers on our platform and be like, how has COVID been impacting you? And what we found is for them, it was interesting, the findings. Firstly, 70% of them definitely are feeling an increased level of stress.
Yes.
And the main reason for that was financial stress. Because a lot of people did lose hours. A lot of people with disabilities and people in older Australians went, you know what, while COVID's on, we're just not going to get our services, if they were in a position to do that. So they lost hours. And then the work they were doing was often very in close contact with people. So the second and third stresses that people experienced was contracting the virus or passing it on. Some interesting things that we found was that when we looked at, say, Victoria and New South Wales, because obviously Victoria's had the lockdown much more extreme than New South Wales, that workers in Victoria were feeling more stress than workers in New South Wales, and the rates, the reasons for the stress was a little bit different. So in New South Wales, the stress was really around financial strain, and in Victoria, the stress was really around the contracting the virus and the passing it on. The other thing that we found is that although workers did feel stressed, they also said that they felt incredibly lucky to still have work when a lot of people they knew didn't have work. And also a real sense of pride that they were able at this time of challenge to sort of be able to step up and really support, support the community. The work they do is always essential, and I think that it just reminded them of how critical the work was.
And look, outside the pay packet, we're talking passion as well. There are people working in this this area, this industry, who are passionate about helping people. And the old saying, the best exercise, medicine for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up. That's the best exercise for your heart, is what I'm saying.
Definitely. Working really closely over the last 5 years with independent support workers, I think the happiness, the purpose that they feel in their lives through the work they do is so clear. every single day that we're engaging with them. The care, the support, they truly are going above and beyond all the time. They obviously are they're independent, so they're out there as their own businesses, which also I think makes a difference. You know, that they know if they do their job well, they get more work. There's no sort of room for hiding when you're out in the world like that.
But when you're talking about the strain on a person, individual, the mental strain, it affects you physically as well. And the finance side comes with it, which is another whammy on the mind and how the mind thinks. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Definitely. And what we did see is that people were really anxious about if they were feeling sick, and they may have even been increasingly feeling sick. We found that 95% said that they were more likely to not go to work if they weren't feeling 100% well during COVID, which is great.
Which is great, exactly.
That was out there. But they definitely said they did experience taking off sick days where they might not have, and a third of them had gone and had a COVID test. So I think that kind of, whether that was that they were feeling more run down because they were feeling stressed.
Do you feel as though the government's doing their bit regarding supporting our care seekers?
I definitely feel they have. I feel particularly the NDIS was incredibly open to coming to us and speaking to us about how we could support being a platform and being able to. We have access to a really large number of workers, and they sort of recognised that, and they spoke to us very early on about what we could do together and how we can make sure that people are still getting their services. I know that there's other things that the government... We haven't had as much to do with the aged care, same minister and department around this, but definitely in the disability space, I was so impressed with how quickly the NDIS...
Look, a very important space to be working in, and here we are having a yarn 20, 30, 40 years down the track. We will all get old, and so we are looking for support and to be cared and looked after. So it's a very important role for all Australians, yes?
Definitely, and I think increasingly we're seeing that people don't want to go into aged care facilities. Today, 90% of Australians say they want to remain home as they age. There needs to be an entire workforce created to support people remaining home as they age. I think the experiences people have had or seen around the aged care facilities during COVID probably has also increased now the number of people who definitely want to stay at home. So I think we're going to see such a need for aged care workers, independent ones who are willing to work within the home as we all age, this ageing population of ours.
Well, hats off to our beautiful care seekers and the work that they're doing. And thank you very much for sharing, Marissa. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much. You have a good day.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there with Marissa Sandler, her name is. She's CEO and co-founder of Care Seekers, and surveys have found more than 2 out of 3 independent aged care and disability support workers are experiencing greater stress during COVID-19. And as we pointed out, they are frontline workers looking after our elders as well as disabled people, and doing fantastic work and incredible work and looking after our people out there. So the support they need and survey is very important in the space that we're living in regarding COVID-19. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. Got the news coming up very soon. So 20 minutes left on the program. Add to the conversation, too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Bye. Spirit, law, culture and all, showing the world.
Yeah, Two Daily, welcome back to your daily program. That's Mabo with Yuthi Indi. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say 1-800-422-416. Yana with a bally one. Trevor, Tim, Trindy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumba, Brett Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News National News Radio Service. Big shout out to them, Mob. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Trev. Thanks for taking the call.
Two Daily, brother. What's your yarn about?
The green patch, mate. The green patch.
Are you travelling with it? How's it going?
Well, that's why I want to inform people. It's connected to Corona too, because when the council planned their place, well, they didn't obviously plan for coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been built for a while. So,
it's not Corona friendly, is what you're saying?
Well, you know, that's where all the travellers are going, and that's where the why the security is there to check the number of plates. That's why. And so us locals, and they built a big brand new toilet block, and it's full of shiny services and everything, you know, it's spick and span and all that. But we have no choice but to use that facility and share it with the travellers. So this is really important for COVID. Now, I've been talking to a couple of other news media outlets in Cairns. If I can get anybody else to ring in with, you know, like another facet, another side, how it affects them with our being able to take people down to the river by car.
And so they can hear the voices from other people who've got concerned, and that affects their life as well, is what you're saying. Support in the conversation.
I'm not a one-man band, and I'm pushing Honorable. But I think it's a really worthy cause, because, you know, we keep hearing about this cultural site in Western Australia that they blew up. This is our cultural site. It's the centre of things. And the council has said it's to do with vegetation. Anyway, there's a reporter, friendly one, in the Cairns Post. His name's Pete. And I'd appreciate anybody else that wants, that's everybody, the whole community, no matter what colour, black colour, white colour, he wants to know the locals' opinion. You know, if he just can't, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't believe me, but I've given him some reasons, and so if anybody, you know, they can get the Cairns Post phone number out of the paper and call the editor. But Pete has asked me to connect him with the other people. Well, this is the only way I can do it. I sat down and thought about it. So that's the basis of my call today, is to try and get many hands might make light work. But we want that riverbank open.
Yeah.
I want it open because I can go down the greenbacks, but I sit over the back in a little campfire, and then you get all people wandering around. They want to come and talk. And you don't really want to talk to them. I just want to sit on my own sometime and look at the mountain, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to sit in peace and quiet there. But
It's a place of taking in your own thoughts and communicating with your soul, with Mother Nature, is what you're saying.
We still help out the travellers in a good way, you know, but it is because the security are there. You know, they go from car to car, numbers and talking to people, so they're like
a bit of harassment going on, you feel?
Well, there has been. It's quieting down a lot. I've told them, leave me alone. I said, no matter what you call it, a camping ground, it's still a rest area.
So let me rest in peace.
Well, you know, there's not a time for that. But anyway, thanks for taking that. If anybody can call the Cairns Post...
Yeah, support the movement.
Support the movement, because that's our beach, like they've closed. That's our place, you know.
Yeah.
That's the green patch. That is our cultural site.
Yep.
And it's very... And it's school holidays now... Well, they're the ones not knowing it. They cut the lock, I'll go down there and with a whippersnapper and have a go myself. And
put your hand up.
Yeah, right. And I reckon a lot of other people down there go, and it might do the whole community good, not black or white, just the whole lot.
Exactly.
I'm sure I don't talk to a lot of people. I'm sort of isolated in a way. And we need that open. That's our safety belt.
Yeah. Good one, brother. Well, thank you for your call and supporters you're looking for. You take care, Tony. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, well, anybody want to call the Cairns Post, ask for Pete.
Pete, that's his name. All right, thank you very much, Tony Gibbs. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the ball. You're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number again, 1-800-422-416.
Forget about your troubles and come out with me. I'll take you dancing to forget your miseries. First I'll dine with you, then dance on through the night. And we'll go walk along through the cool moonlight. Once you felt my charm, walking arm in arm. Out in the cool night air, it'll be more than you can bear. So forget about your troubles and come out with me. I'll take you dancing to forget your miseries. First I'll dine with you, then dance on through the night. And we'll go walk it on through the cool moonlight. I know that you've been cheated by him with all his lies. So come along with me and I'll help you to get by. So forget about your troubles and come out with me. I'll take you dancing to forget your miseries. First I'll dine with you, then dance on through the night. And we'll go walking all through the cool moonlight. My love for you is real and has been for so long. And you no longer feel for him, 'cause he is gone. So forget about your troubles and come out with me. I'll take you dancing to forget your misery. First I'll dine with you, then dance on through the night. I will go walking on through the cool light. I will go walking on through the cool light. We'll go walking on through the cool light.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
Get girls, come along and do the dance with us. It's time to get dressed, we got a festival coming. Swing your arms side to side when you hop along. Keep hopping up and down while I'm singing this song.
This is Shikara, the Lord of Banya. From the bottom and down, tell your granny and your jamba. A daily little story about the Lord of play. While I kick another rap on a funky bass. So what's up, brother Jamu? What's up, Jamu? A funny little thing on the floor, feel a funk. You check out my dance move, never take a shit stop. A hot shot, what, R&B and hip-hop.
Girls, come along and do the dance with us. It's time to get dressed, we got a festival.
Yeah, Too Deadly Dance with us, Mornington Island. Big shout out to Jim Wobb, One Love. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone online. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, a name change, a little issue. Like I stated here, but brother, I think the last time I saw you was down on the Nardi, brother.
Who that? Saw me down at the Nardi?
I feel like you're in a couple of F-words, brother. Back in America, I did the F-word, and I like if I saw you and Uncle Goody and Shirley too, but you would say, oh, use the F, but oh, what if you say we can meet in a water, you know? I mean, no, brother.
But exactly.
I remember a time doing Daikyo and the casino and the Japanese investment here when the council decided to name the toilets, the places, the information places in Japanese, and even when you jump in the taxi, and there was no issue from white Australians. It only became an issue I saw on the news post from white Europeans, and they said this, brother, they said, look, we have our language too, the white Europeans, and we don't get information and directions and things like German or Polish or anything like that, but they want to do everything for Japanese, because you know why, brother? Money talks, brother.
Money
and
talks.
I remember in 1969, brother, when I was at boarding school in Charlestown, and also college.
Yes.
The most used word was plastic, brother. And it was the same time when they said two channels on TV, and the commercial channel used to ask for donations, and the donation was for the crippled children home.
Yes.
Crippled is not a word, but, you know, it's used today. I mean, Travis Gorton got a lot of trouble for using the word plastic on the footy shows.
Yeah, he did too, yep.
And it's electric handicap, brother. And slavery was once illegal, but it's a lot of words that are not used to. But, they, you know, our way, they want to bring American stuff in here. Yes. And there was a big Japanese stuff, but the old black one. You're really talking about the red black one. Why not have stuff in Aboriginal? A lot of tourists, you know, they might know that the history behind Canberra or Moomba, but there's a lot of stuff already in Aboriginal. It's a good thing, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too Deadly. So on that regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and that virtually concludes our program today. Murray back in the hot seat again tomorrow, and I thank you very much for your company, Mob, and that deadly number is 1-800-422-416. You can always text the brother 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, and a big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across the country, a beautiful black network and a voice for our people. So stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and very importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, you mob. No vaccine, so abide by the rules. Too deadly.
We dance. now.